All right, we're back. Stu Mander, the Four Outdoorsman. Mark Luki and Sam Oftedal are not here. They're doing trick-or-treating with their kids. And where's their priorities, man? Where's their priorities? Just you and me today, buddy.
They better bring us some candy next week.
I hope so.
I know they're going to be getting a lot tonight.
Well, hang on a second. I heard you ask these guys, Howie Atherton's here. Howie, yeah. Everett Atherton is a good friend of mine. He's the Elvis tribute guy that we're going to be seeing this Saturday. But you, I heard you ask them what their favorite candy was.
What's yours, Stru?
Probably a Twix.
Twix? A peanut butter or a caramel?
Oh, no, you can't
screw on the peanut. They even got weird ones.
Nah, I know,
like,
no.
So it's just a caramel, you classic save, caramel Twix?
You got to stay with the caramel. Yeah, no.
That's, right or left?
What do you mean?
So you don't watch TV, I guess.
I guess not.
That's like part of their ad campaign deal. Like, do you like a right Twix or a left Twix? And they're different. They come from different factories. I don't think I believe that, but it's definitely in their commercials.
This is an outdoor hunting and fishing show, pal. I don't care about Twix.
Tonight it's a music show.
Well, it is a music show. I got Howie here, and Howie is going to be doing a show this Saturday. I know we're going to talk hunting and fishing for the next 45 minutes or so. But Howie, man, thanks for being on the Four Outdoors. Get up there by the mic, buddy.
Hey, thank you.
There you go.
Invite.
Now, let's tell. You got about 5 minutes. I know you were on the Homegrown show, and my wife called and said, man, Howie sounds great. And he sounds even better in person. So tell us a little bit about the show. It's Saturday at the stadium. What can people expect?
Well, hopefully they can expect a good experience and listen to Elvis music and hopefully jump in. You know, have a great time. Have a great dinner upstairs, but come downstairs and enjoy a couple hours of Elvis. And hopefully there's only one Elvis, but I will try to do my best to emulate the voice and persona and it's going to be fun.
I've seen Howie probably, a dozen times or so, and every time it's really, really been good. As a matter of fact, I mean this sincerely, and I told you this. The last time I saw you, a year and a half or so ago in New Brighton or Moundsview, some big thing in a backyard deal, and I honestly believe you sounded better than you ever did the first 10 or 12 years that I've listened to you. And I mean that sincerely. So hopefully you can still get up there a little bit on the high notes and that kind of crap.
No, I can still do that.
Can you?
Yeah, I can still do that.
Yeah. Can you still fit into your jumpsuit?
Well, let's not get off. Personally.
It'll be a lot of fun, I'll tell you, because the energy now, Howie, he listened to Howie on the air here right now on the radio. There's not a whole lot of energy there, but wait till he puts on the jumpsuit, gets the microphone in front of him, and he's going to blow you away. So join us, I'll tell you what. Anybody who mentions that finds me, if you won't recognize me, I suppose, at the stadium, and you tell me that you heard. And you came to this show as a result of what we're talking about in the Homegrown show or the Four Outdoorsman. I'll buy you a cocktail. How does that sound?
He's a man of his word, too.
I'm a man of my word.
You'll be able to tell Stru. He looks just like he sounds.
Oh, really? Good looking?
Yeah.
Yeah, good looking. All right, what time's the show starting? All that kind of good stuff. Now, you were talking about all this, how you can find these tickets. What I did, I just went to ticketleap.com. I put Howie Atherton, boom, and it showed up right there.
Oh,
so,
perfect.
So,
awesome.
Don't worry about all the dots and dashes. Just go to TicketLeap. And show the concert, and you look for Howie Atherton, you're home free. And I bought mine that way, so, all right?
Well, the show starts at 8 o'clock. We're going to open the doors downstairs at 6:30.
Okay.
People who buy the tickets online, we're going to get their tickets like in closer up to the stage itself. And then food before the show, and then have a great time at the show. Starts at 8 o'clock, and I hope I sing most every song that you guys like to hear.
And the stadium really is a nice little venue. And I go there regularly because it's so close to my house in Van Ness Heights. And they do have really good food. So stop by, have dinner, see the show, and laugh a lot, and listen to some tunes, and how we do your thing, pal. All right?
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here. Take care of yourselves. You guys get home safely.
Listen
to me on the way home.
Yeah,
all right. Hey, Brandon, now, how was your week? Because you know I did a lot of stuff this week.
I saw your videos. I love when you post on social media.
Yeah.
I saw you guys, you and Steve, pulling in a bass. Well, he was doing most of the pulling.
Yes, he was. He was the guide. He was the guide. His smallmouth bass was. We really didn't have. Take care, Jerry. Take care, everybody. And his smallmouth bass probably was 6.5, but I was being conservative because it says on the scales if you catch a 19-inch smallmouth, it says it's like 4 pounds, 13 ounces, but this thing was as fat as any fish that I'd ever seen.
It did have the girth, for sure.
It was a thrill. It was an absolute thrill. We didn't try to catch any walleyes. I caught one. Rest were just smallmouth bass, but and it turned out to be a beautiful day.
Bob, yeah, weather looked great.
Bob Krejci and I, a good friend of mine, has been one of my best friends for 30 years. He and I left about 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, heading up toward Ely on Thursday morning, and it rained all the way to Cloquet, and all of a sudden, it just opened right up, and it was a stunning day to be on the water. So thanks to Steve and Chris from Arrowhead Outdoors, one of our sponsors. And again, I mean it when I sincerely say, that's the best bait, tackle, and camping store in the entire town of Ely, Minnesota. So, but I tell you, if you like, so get a hold of these guys, Arrowhead
Outdoors.
They'll
take care of you. They'll put you on the fish. They'll help you out. They'll get you what you need.
They know guides. They do all this kind of stuff. And I tell you, there's so much water up there.
Yeah.
And there's not only the boundary waters, but there's so many lakes within 3, 4, 5 miles of right downtown Ely that really do produce really good fish. Hire a guide.
That's the way to do it too. I mean, I have the pleasure of working with a couple guides, I've been in a boat with a guide. It's a way different. Even if you are like a pretty knowledgeable, experienced fisherman, you go with a guide, and it's like a guaranteed banger of a trip. You know, like it's definitely a good idea.
You know, if you don't know the water, you know, you can spend 10 hours finally learning the water when these guys know the water.
It's a needle in a haystack, and that you got the guy that's got the metal detector if you get a guide. So, yeah, I love it. You know, I just found out that I got some family that own a amethyst mine just north of the border in Canada, like out that way.
Really?
Yeah. I just found that out. Thought that was kind of funny. They just bought it like a couple years ago.
Was that right?
Yeah.
That's that black stone, isn't it?
It's a darkish, kind of almost purpley black. Black would be more like kind of, I think... what is that, obsidian or onyx or something like that. But yeah, the amethyst, it's got a kind of a purpley color. But
so I didn't know there's a lot of money in amethysts.
I don't know if there is, but they're definitely pretty. Yeah, they're pretty sparkly crystals.
So if you own one of those mines, you have to know how to spell the word?
Probably. I would assume so, yeah.
It'd be hard for me.
Hey, so last night I was at my church, had a the harvest party. It's kind of like their Halloween party for the kids.
Yeah.
And me and a buddy were given four-wheeler hay rides, like they had a trailer with hay on the back of it, hooked up to a four-wheeler, and we were tearing around. Like,
oh,
the
really?
Church. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It brought me back to like old school. Like, you're not going to find a lot of places bringing the kids on breakneck, crazy, white-knuckled hay rides anymore, but we did last night, and they loved it. It was fun. A lot of howling and just crazy kids. So, yeah it's been a fun weekend. And then yesterday was the Anoka Halloween Parade, and Bob, we took the Bobulence.
Yeah.
Tore through downtown Anoka, giving candy to the kids and stuff. It was a good turnout, and it was a beautiful day for the fair. So, Halloween capital of the world.
Is that still as big as it used to be?
Yeah, I heard numbers like around 50 to 100,000 people.
Really?
But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't counting.
Yeah, I've never been there for that.
It was pretty packed. I mean, last year was weird. I don't know if you knew about like last year they did the parade, but it was a modified deal because of the whole, you know,
COVID stuff. Right? Yeah.
And it was a reverse parade. So all the, like the floats and all the attractions were parked like along the route, and cars would drive through and enjoy it from their car. And it was really weird. So it was nice getting back to normal and just chasing the Bobulence through downtown Anoka.
So the Anoka Halloween parade is, and the costume party stuff, it's one of the only times that Trump supporters are not concerned about wearing masks.
Right.
They'll put a mask on
we'll
for
put
that
a
one.
Mask on, no problem. I wore one. Yeah. Chanted, let's go Brandon all the way down the road.
I also had a chance to go duck hunting with my buddy Tony Samper, who
was
going to
have
be on
him
the show.
On the line, yeah.
And he's an absolute riot. And he the setup they have up there, and I can't even tell you where it is, but it's in northern Minnesota, northwestern Minnesota someplace. He'll be on, but I did that, did some grouse hunting, golfed a couple of times, boy, and I got home yesterday, and my butt was just dragging. But we're looking forward to tonight's show, and I'll take care of the whole thing. Is Chris around? All right. I apologize. Chris Fitzgerald is going to be our first guest. He is a Barron County Sheriff in Wisconsin, and he says, I'll be on unless there's some crazy stuff happening with Halloween. And I look at all these Barron County reports. In fact, I'll do a couple of them later on tonight as well. Barron County police reports, because most of those are hilarious, but some, of course, aren't. And so Chris Fitzgerald is going to join us, and we'll talk about what's happening over in western Wisconsin and talk about maybe some early ice tips, those kind of things. So if he's ready, I'm ready.
Yeah, I was thinking, though, where's Lukey and Sam when you need them to do the This Week in Barron County?
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. But I'm gonna do some of those later on. Chris, are you there?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Every day's a gift is what I say. You know, on the show here, I have so much fun. You know now that my wife and I have a, a place in Prairie Lake, on Prairie Lake in Chautauqua, and have for 35 years, 34 years. And so just within the last few months, I always get the Rice Lake newspaper and the Chautauqua newspaper and read all of the police reports. And some of them are funnier than hell. I mean, there's a lot of crazy people in Chautauqua. As a matter of fact, this is Chris Fitzgerald, the sheriff of Barron County. And I usually read about four or five of them. Kind of give you here's one right here, okay? Caller says that when she woke up this morning, she found a chicken breast hanging from the back wiper of her vehicle. So she calls the cops on that. That's right out of Chautauqua paper. This is scary. 5:29 p.m. Call says a 13-year-old girl is running around the park asking if people have a knife so she can cut off their privates. God, really? Those are the kind of calls you guys get?
Those are the kind of calls we get.
Yeah, yeah. But more important than that, you know, Chris has been, how long have you been sheriff in Barron County?
This is the start of my 14th year.
You know, tell me what it's like today as compared to 10 years ago. Come on, tell me. Has it changed a lot?
Facebook and cell phones, I mean, that's really what drives crime right now is Facebook comments and cell phones of reporting anything, which is what we really want. But, just because you're mad at somebody doesn't mean they're violating the law. And so, but Facebook has really changed the game that how law enforcement operates.
And you get involved a lot, I believe, with local authorities and DNR and game wardens and everything else when you're doing your job. Like last year, we talked on the 4th of July, some of the things that happen on the 4th of July where you have to jump in the game and try to save people's lives, you know. And so you're involved with those associations as well, correct?
Yeah, we have a great relationship with the DNR. We do a lot of patrol for the DNR, and they... because they don't have a lot of wardens. We do a lot of ATV patrol. They do the hunting regulations, and we do kind of the patrol, the trespassing, et cetera. So, but, yeah, lakes were a big part of the 4th of July in Chautauqua, and we had, I think we had over 300 contacts over the 4th of July just on the Chautauqua chain of lakes between the DNR and the Sheriff's Department. And they're all, some of them are positive, just making sure you have enough life jackets, your boat's registered, you know, you're not driving too close to shore, but some of them are violations. And we had four OWIs on boats over the 4th of July weekend, which is a lot for one weekend on the lakes of one lake in Barron County.
Yeah. You know, the Chautauqua Channel Lakes is extremely popular. And I go up there, of course, it's our life. My wife, Diana, is in my life. But I try to, 4th of July, I'm staying off the water. I'm not going to be on the sandbar. It is really scary sometimes. There's so many boats, and the waves are so high and all that. And people don't take into consideration a lot of waves and alcohol is not a good combination.
You're right, and it changes with this tech because of all the resorts. It's a weekly change in people, so it's not the same people say, oh, I didn't know that. We couldn't do that on this lake. It changes every week. So our call volume on the Chautauqua chain of lakes due to all the resorts, I mean, it's great. People are out there having fun. We have a lot of good time with them, but sometimes we have a lot of violations, and we just got to make sure that people are following the rules.
All right, speaking of violations, now, did you respond to the call about the gentleman with the truck in the fish house?
I know my sergeant did, but I was appraised of it. So,
tell that story. So, well, tell us what you know about that story.
Well, we got called to, I think it was like 3:30, 4:30 in the morning, we got called to a truck in the lake, and the driver was luckily out of the truck and uninjured, but he was pulling his ice shack and literally drove right off the road right into the lake.
You know, that's amazing. You know, what's he doing with an ice shack in the first place? You know, I don't think there's enough alcohol in the world to make me believe that the ice is solid. But
yeah, I don't think he was actually going to go ice fishing. He was getting it ready, but he drove straight. I mean,
he followed his tracks
straight into the lake like he thought he was maybe going ice fishing. So I don't know what he was thinking, but alcohol was the contributing factor to that crash. And obviously it took a lot of, we had some fun with it, and it's a very serious thing, but sometimes we have to make light of things when no one's injured to really get a point across to people about drinking and driving. It's probably the second biggest problem we have in Barron County is OWIs, and that really gained a lot of attention for us to remind people that bad things happen, and you have to be careful.
Yeah, I loved your. I saw the article in the Chautauqua newspaper, and I posted it and shared it with the world as well, and I love it. I don't know who wrote those comments. Maybe it probably was you, but it's, you told the whole story a little bit, and he says, "By the way, kind of alcohol was involved." Well, no kidding, you know. But
But it's just but. It does happen. I mean, we have a car go through the lake all the time. Everybody's always talking about getting on the ice first, and it's just something we've got to be made aware of. Obviously, there's not ice yet, but it's pretty cold. It's going to get cold this week, but it isn't going to make ice. But we're only a couple of weeks from having some ice on the lakes and people going out in these bays and trying to ice fish.
Speaking of that, you're a friend of Bruce Camrath, right? Is that his name?
What's that?
Are you a friend of Bruce Camrath in Chautauqua? You're a Facebook
friend. Yeah, I know him.
All right, you're a Facebook friend of his. And I had a chance to have lunch with him 2 years ago when I read this story about him going through the ice.
Yeah.
And that was scary. And he's a big, big man. And he has been on that chain of lakes forever. And he went to an area that he thought was going to be safe, and it wasn't. And he went right over the handlebars into the water. That was unbelievably scary. And when I met him for lunch at the we went to the bakery in Chautauqua there. I couldn't believe how big of a man. He's about 6'4", 300. And when you go head first with a helmet at 40 miles an hour, whatever it is, you're going through the ice. Wow.
Yeah. It's and we always have one every year. We just need people to just be patient. I know they love ice fishing or they love hunting or whatever it is that they're doing, but they've got to just make sure, the safety's on your gun when you're going hunting. You've got to do all this and not be rushed. I mean, Halloween tonight. We're asking people to just, be careful driving around. Don't be in a hurry tonight, even because there's so many kids out. It's just the same thing when we go hunting and fishing. It's just there's so many people are excited, and it's so fun. It's so awesome, but we just got to take some time and make sure we're safe.
You've been sheriff for Barron County for 14 years. Are you on call literally 24 hours a day?
24 hours a day. I mean, yesterday we were downtown trick-or-treating, and we all had to go to we had a fatality. You'll read about it tomorrow on our Facebook, a traffic fatality. And we went from handing out candy to kids to handling, a head-on fatality, just like that. So, I get called every major crime or every major scene. And, obviously we've talked on the news about the Claus case and things that happen in Chautauqua. And a lot of times, you've been following us for a while, and it's all the time that we have to be available and ready to go.
It's a very, very difficult job, and I have tons of respect for anybody in law enforcement, because I think personally, based on what's happening in the Twin Cities over the last 3, 4, 5 years, as well as any place in the country, I suppose, 90% of your job is kind of mundane, and 10% could be extremely risky, and that's a tough gig.
Yeah, it is, luckily for us, Northwest Wisconsin has a love for law enforcement. It's not that way in all parts of the world, so I'm very blessed for the citizens that we have here in Barron County, because we feel the law of anything we need, that the citizens make happen for us, and it works out really, really well. So, I agree, and we appreciate all law enforcement, appreciates the support that anybody gives us at any time, and if you're out there looking for something to do, just stop and thank a cop. I mean, it makes us feel good, in a time where there's so much hate, we've got to do some good things, and that's the one thing you can do is just say thank you.
Everybody thanks the military, which is wonderful and critical, of course, but that's a good point. The cops need all the thanks as well. They need to realize that they are appreciated. Hey, you were in the FBI National Academy in 2006. Were you thinking about becoming an FBI guy?
Yeah, I was. I looked at being in the FBI. That thing I went to in 2006 is a partnership with local law enforcement that they do. Obviously, that pays off when you have a major case like the Jimmy Kloss case and our partnership with the FBI and knowing some ins and outs of the FBI. But, at one point I thought about the FBI, but I just love this hometown feel. I've been a local boy here for all my life, and it's just very enjoyable, and like I said, it's easy when you have the support of a community behind you. You can do just about anything.
And another good thing in your life, pal, I was looking at your Facebook page, and your wife is hot. I'll tell you, we got to wrap it up. Chris Fitzgerald, the Barron County Sheriff, and again, thank you and your entire staff for all they do, because it can't be easy. I'm going to leave you with one of these. A man called 9, this is from Chautauqua, October 9th, a man called 911 from the 100 block of 23, that's by our house. said to report his 12-foot aluminum trailer had been stolen the previous night. Later, dispatchers learned that the owner found the trailer, and he forgot he gave it to his one of his buddies. Welcome to Chautauqua. Chris Fitzgerald, thanks for being on the show again. You know, I'm going to stay in touch with you and use you every couple of times a year because you're a good speaker, you're a nice man, and it's all about being safe. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep, making a difference. Thank you. I appreciate everything you do for law enforcement. Couldn't do it without you.
Take care, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to be right back with Ben Johnson, a good friend of mine, Ben Johnson, one of the best musicians in the Twin Cities. I hope he's not listening because his head will get really big.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
It's no secret that we love the city of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not just the thrill that comes with its unbelievable hunting and fishing, but everything that Devil's Lake has to offer. You can choose from nearly 30 restaurants, many hotel and motel options, a dozen campsites, theater, golfing, hiking, nearby casino, or just plain exploring. Walleyes and jumbo perch, well, they might draw you here, but Devil's Lake itself will keep you coming back. Hey, trust through me on this one. Visit devilslakend.com.
Clam Outdoors has something for every ice angler. Dave Gens created the original fish trap 40 years ago, and Clam continues to lead the industry with portable sled style and hub shelters today. Beyond ice shelters, Clam continues to bring new innovation and products to the sport. From ice fishing suits, cold weather gear, tackle, fishing line, accessories, rods, reels, and combos, and much more to add to your ice fishing arsenal. Check out the full line of ice fishing gear at clamoutdoors.com. Pursue the ice.
The 2021 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo is coming to the National Sports Center in Blaine, November 19th through the 21st. Featuring the latest gear like augers, tackle, rods, reels, sleds, trailers, electronics, and more. Stick around for great pro seminars and learn tips and tricks that will help you catch more fish this winter. There's fun for kids and adults, so bring the whole family. You don't want to miss this. That's the 2021 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo, November 19th through the 21st at the National Sports Center in Blaine.
Get ahead of the game and get your ATV trailer into Crystal Welding for repairs before hunting season. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove services all trailers. Crystal Welding is also your local Hinneker dealer, carrying Hinneker snowplows and winter accessories. Get your repairs scheduled now and be prepared for the season before it starts. Stop in to schedule or go to crystalwelding.com for more information.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Mark here, and soon the time will come to drop off my boat for a luxury winter spa vacation at Power Lodge. No, not mud baths and cucumbers. Expert winterization storage out of the elements for your boat, pontoon, or personal watercraft. There's still some fishing time left, but reserve your spot while there's room. Three locations ready to help you. Down the road from our studios off Highway 10 in Ramsey, Brainerd off Highway 371, and Onamia off Highway 169. Online at powerlodge.com.
When you join Sip and Save at Holiday, you can enjoy any size drink every day for only $5.99 a month. Yup, choose from our freshly ground hot or iced coffee today, any ice cold fountain drink tomorrow, maybe a froster the next day. One drink a day for 30 days for only $5.99. Start sipping and saving today. Just sign up at the checkout or visit holidaystationstores.com. Your favorite drink every day for only $5.99 a month, only at Holiday.
Panera believes in saying yes. Yes to clean, fresh ingredients. Yes to the new chicken sausage and pepperoni flatbread topped with rich mozzarella. Yes to delicious mac and cheese. Yes to putting it on a sandwich, creating the grilled mac and cheese sandwich. And yes to impromptu road trips to Sandwich, Illinois. Because that's living life to the flavor fullest. Get $1 delivery when you order on our app. Panera, live your yes. Pricing and product availability may vary. Visit PaneraBread.com.
It's Neil here for Zero Res, my carpet and duct cleaning heroes. Did you know as many as 1 in 5 Americans suffer from allergies caused by particles frequently found in the air inside most homes? If you or anyone in your family suffers from allergies or asthma, or just want cleaner, healthier air, Zero Res can help. Call Zero Res right now, 952-ZERO-RES, or go online at ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Bob FM Air Duct Cleaning Special to get $50 off this month.
Country Bob FM. Hey, welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Super Strew is here. Mark and Sam are being good parents. They're taking their kids grand take a trick-or-treating. But not Ben Johnson. No, Ben wants to be on the radio. He said, screw these kids. Let them go out by themselves. Ben, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Hey, how's it going, Strew?
Every day's a gift, pal. Hey, give me a second here. I got to do a couple of shout-outs and say thanks to our sponsors. Mark sets this stuff all the time and up all the time, and I'm not very good at this kind of crap. He usually has like 10 or 15 of these things. I see about 3 or 4. Shout-outs. Craig Rudolph Jr. says, my buddy's deer from this weekend's hunt, it's a monster. But I'm telling you what, Craig, is this John Marshall? Craig did. If these are your buddies, you better run. I think they look like they're going to shoot somebody, man. They look like the Grim Reaper and all that. That deer probably just fell down. But that's a monster. Jesse Cuscanimi, a fun morning on the lake shooting ducks now. And I'm cooking some ducks, having a cocktail, listening to the Four Outdoors. Well, that's Jesse. Thanks for following the show. That's a beautiful picture of the sunrise or sunset there. Corey Bechtold, Weekend Report coming. He's got a monster smallmouth. Not as big as the one I caught last weekend, though. Ron Nelson, he's sighting in his Savage 220 for next weekend. Good luck next week, young man. And Twin Cities Walleye's Unlimited. Look them up sometime. They're saying they're looking forward to this Thursday night meeting with guest speaker Randon Olson in Bloomington at 7 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. That's Twin Cities Walleye's Unlimited. You got to check them out sometime. Ben, how you been, friend?
Oh, I've been doing great. Been busy, but great.
Hey, you know what? The song that that you sent to me about the young man who, he probably got married, but he says, you know, the kid doesn't have my own last name. He doesn't have my own blood, but he's my boy. Well,
yeah.
That I played it for my wife, Diana, as well, and she absolutely loved it. And it reminded me of my life, as a matter of fact, because I married Diana with 3 kids, and they were 11, 9, and 5. And it's exactly the same thing. It's not easy the first 6 months, year or so, until they gradually realize, hey, you're there to help them. But it's a wonderful song. Wonderful.
It does.
Song.
I mean, my cousin-in-law sent it to me, and he was like, "Man, I was just thinking of you and Soren when I heard this." And I was like, "Okay, what is this?" I checked it out, and I almost broke down in tears listening to it.
Yeah.
It just it captures that stepfatherhood. And there's so many people out there, like you said, there's so many people out there that can relate to that story or that feeling. And I've thought about that before, and man, I can't imagine doing that song any better than he did it.
So I'll tell you what, but it's perfect for you. And Diana said this, Diana thought it was you, but it's perfect for you. It's absolutely perfect for you. Do you know the name of the song? What's Brandon?
I don't. Is it the song that's on the Country Salute CD? What do you got for us on that? I know you're part of that project this year.
Yeah. Yep, I'm on that. I've got 89 Chevy.
Oh, yeah, all right. Right on.
Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's hard to beat that.
And it looks like you're going to be joining the morning show a week from tomorrow. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. I'll be talking with Neil and talking about the song, what I've got going on musically.
Cool.
Just kind of giving a recap of the last year and a half of my life. Which has been, like everybody else, kind of up and down, crazy. But we're rolling on. We're rolling on with
finding
the show, and it's good to be back and playing.
Cool. Well, we got to get you back scheduled on the Homegrown show to get in depth with it. But a week from tomorrow, 8:20 in the morning during the morning show, you can check Ben Johnson live with Neil. I'm going to leave you to Strew now, but I'm here if you need me, Ben. Just give me a holler.
Well, what if I want to take a look? You guys can keep on talking. You don't need me. Jeebus, correct. Hey, I'll tell you, back to the kid thing, part of the song was the first time the kid calls you dad, and I'll never forget, my middle son, Joe, was the first one to call me dad. They always called me Steve for a long, long time. Nobody knew me as Strew Man or anything like that, and my son, Joe, was probably 9, maybe 10, and he's running down the steps to go play with somebody, and he runs down and goes, "See you later, Dad," and he stopped, and he came back and says, "Steve," and he went right back down the steps. You know, and it's like, oh, man.
Oh.
Yeah, and that was really, really cool. So I didn't adopt them, but I took over 3 kids. They were 11, 9, and 5 when I met Diana. And I've done something right because only one's told me to get screwed. So I'm 2 out of 3 ain't bad. It's a, that'd be a hell of a song. That'd be a Meatloaf song, isn't it? I think it is. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, huh?
Hey, let's talk about your grouse hunting camp. What is a grouse hunting camp? You guys have a wall tent and sit around and have a couple of beers and talk about hunting. What is your grouse hunting camp all about?
So the grouse camp, I mean, this started for us about 10 years ago, I think, something like that. And it was a couple of buddies. They're actually friends of one of my college friends. They're all a bunch of white bear guys, east side guys. And
yeah.
They had gone up to Ely one year, and it was my buddy Kay Back and Prawl, and they went up to Ely, and they were going grouse hunting. This is probably 12 years ago or something. They were just getting into the sport. And they ran into a group of guys. They didn't know their ass from their... Excuse me. I don't know if I can say that on the air.
You just did. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
They're from their elbow. And so they ran into a bunch of old-timers up there. And they got to talking and getting some pointers and whatever. And they found out that these guys had been coming to this grouse camp for 50 years.
Wow. Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, just thinking about those traditions and maintaining those friendships. So we got together, and there's a group about, it kind of varies between 8 and 10 guys, I'd say, but for about the last 10 years, we have set up camp in the Grand Marais area up the Gunflint, and we go for 4 or 5 days in October every year, and it's a lot of jaw-jacking, a lot of sitting around the campfire, but we put in quite a few miles, though, I'd say. As the years have gotten by, it's more serious into the hunting during the day, and then the jaw jacking, and there's not as many trips back into town as there used to be. But it's been a lot of fun and a lot of good memories. And that's the crux of the whole thing, is trying to maintain these friendships and make these memories.
Yeah. Life is nothing more than the memories. That's it. Trust me. I'm 70 years old, pal, and it goes as fast as everybody says it does, and it just make those memories and make them as quickly and as often as you can. Now, you're talking about your camp. Were you tenting out? What was that like?
Yeah. So we for those that are familiar with the Grand Marais or the Gunflint Trail,
Sven and Ollie's is right there.
What's that?
Sven and Ollie's, isn't that up there? Graham Ray's up there, the restaurant. Sven and Ollie's is up there, and I've been up there a couple of times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a great town. Even if you want to just, if you're not an outdoorsman, go check out the town and the scenery with the lake down there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. All right, go ahead then. Talk about the camp itself and the housing.
Yeah. So we do the car camp kind of thing where you bring your tent and you got, the basic luxury items such as maybe somebody might bring an air mattress or something,
but
that's about as glamorous as it gets. And then, you bring your food and you bring your drink and your coolers. And then we kind of, this year though, I tried something for the first time that I hadn't done before. I usually sleep in a single guy tent.
Yeah.
If it's cold enough, I'll have the dog come in there with me. But this year or this last winter, I bought one of those hub ice houses, the insulated ones.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and I said, I'm going to try this thing for grouse camp. And it was, I was a little skeptical at first. I didn't know how it would hold up. We got lucky with the weather though. And it wasn't too crazy or anything, but, I was pretty dang warm in that thing.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense to me.
What's that?
That makes sense to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, anybody that's thinking about that or is wondering about using that for camping, go ahead. It works great.
What you guys are doing is a lot simpler than what some people have done. Like, I've got a group of guys who have gotten involved in the Polish Palace on Mud Creek Road in Ely. If you ever want to go up there and use that place, let me know. And it's a nice little cabin. He's got an outside shower and everything. And it's right on. And the grouse hunting up there is phenomenal. A couple of the guys that are in my group were up there with their kids, and they got dogs, and they've got good dogs. I've never hunted grouse with a dog. And he said, up there, you're not going to be able to get the birds without the dogs. And they filled out in the first both days, and just wonderful. But we have contracts and stuff, who's the president, that kind of stuff. And that can lead to can lead to confrontations. You got nothing but tents and some woods, man. That makes it a lot easier.
Oh, yeah. We tried 3 years ago, we tried doing a rustic cabin, no heat, no water or anything, just the bare bone skeleton and some beds. And it was okay, but we like roughing it. It reminds you of how good you got it, I think, if you take the time to rough it a couple days a year.
But
as far as the hunting went, I mean, it was I'd read all the numbers, and I was, you know, I it's kind of the bottom of the cycle in that area, they were saying. But, and like you were just mentioning with the dogs, this is my dogs. I've got a Brittany Spaniel, and it's his third season, and he's just kind of figuring it out at the end of last year. And I took him out training, dove hunting a couple times early this season, just to get him back in the field and get used to working a little bit. And boy, oh boy, did he pay dividends this year.
Oh, fun.
Oh yeah. I think we probably flushed, I don't know, 15, 16 birds or something like that. And it was just fun watching that progression and watching him work. Because he's more of a pheasant dog, because he's an American Brittany. So what I learned, another guy, I learned this from our camp. You may know this, some of the other listeners may know this, but it was new to me learning about the Brittanys, and that there's the American Brittany and the French Brittany.
Yeah,
and
didn't know.
Yeah, one of the guys in our camp, his father-in-law is a breeder, and he was telling us that you know, the American Brittanys were bred to hunt birds on horseback, so that's why you see they do so well in the pheasant and the, you know, the tall grass and the pheasant field, is because they just need that room to run.
Yeah.
And whereas the French Brittanys are stick a little tighter, and they're a little better grouse dog. But I found that if I keep a pretty good heel command with him, and give him a little bit of leg room with that, and then once he gets birdie, letting him off that leash per se. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun though. I mean, everybody in our camp had a pretty good year. I think we totaled with, Jesus, I think 15 birds, 16 birds or something over the course of a few days. I ended up with six, and it was an interesting camp, because we had a couple guys who had some mixed bags too. The first bird of the trip was one of our guys got there on Thursday morning and got a woodcock. And that was his first woodcock, and so we fried that up for dinner that night, and that was pretty good. And that next day, we had another group of guys coming up on that on Friday, and they flushed a goose on a grouse trail.
That's amazing. A goose on a grouse trail. How far away from the water?
Not even close.
Holy buckets.
It was crazy. A lone goose, Canadian honker, sitting there on a grouse trail, and he walked up on it, and he's like kind of in amazement. And have you seen the movie American Gangster?
Yes, I have.
With Denzel Washington.
Yep.
So one of the guys, and it's just kind of sitting there, and you know, it's fine, looks healthy and whatever. And one of the guys pulls out his phone, because they're kind of can't believe this. And my buddy K-Back goes, he's got the steel shot on him, so he wants to keep it legal. And
yeah,
goes and pulls it up, and he starts walking up like Denzel Washington in American Gangster on this goose, and it flushes up, and he got it, but it's just I'll send you the video later. It's comical.
Oh, I'm glad you yes, do that. Yeah,
to see this goose flushed on a grouse trail. But we're jokingly calling it Goose Camp this year.
Oh, fun! That's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you were talking about the camaraderie and just BS and telling stories around the campfire and whatnot. At the Hunting Shack we have on Ely, Minnesota, Mud Creek Road, I spent years and years and years with my same buddies until they all got married and things changed, you know, for about 7, 8 years in a row. And I could tell you some stories. As a matter of fact, when I get off the show tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm going to head home and try to catch part of the Vikings game. I'm going to give you a call and share a story that's going to crack you up. About hunting up in Ely, Minnesota as well. Hey, we only have about a minute left. When you got your dog, did you do a whole lot of research? And how did you determine that was the kind of dog you wanted?
Well, I did. We, you know, having two kids, we wanted a dog that was going to be able to serve as both.
Yeah.
Both a hunting dog and a family dog. And I had grown up with labs, so I knew labs fairly well, but I was interested in the pointer breeds, specifically for grouse and for pheasant hunting. And I did some research, and I got our dog, Bo. His name, well, he's named, his full name is Bo Cephas, after Hank Williams Jr.
You got so me. That's interesting right there.
And so, and here's how it happened. I'm listening to this Kenny Chesney song on the way down to go pick him up. And it's Keg in the Closet. We had a dog named Bo Cephas living in the front yard. And so I was like, well, that's his name. There it is.
That's funny. That's funny.
So, so he's, yeah, he was it's right, I can't remember the name of the town, but it's Ben's Brittany's. And he's a great breeder, great dogs. Look him up if you're interested. Or if you're looking for dogs, but and so I but here's the thing is I wanted to take on the challenge of training him myself.
Yeah.
And it is a lot more time than I realized it would be in trying to get a pointer to point. And so the struggles and the you learn a lot about yourself in trying to train a dog. And that's it's like having a kid and taking them out fishing for the first time.
Right.
And it's the same kind of feeling though once you see them start to get it.
Last question. Would you do it the same way again, or would you hire someone to train to get the dog ready for you?
You know, it was satisfying doing it myself, but I would hire a professional. Awesome. I would recommend that if you really want your dog to be a great pointer, because he works as a kind of a pointer flusher hybrid.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, but he's, I mean, the fact that he has been, it comes from such good stock, you know, it's just, most of it's natural for him.
I'm so glad that you get a chance to get into the outdoors and I tell you what, maintain those relationships with your buddies as long as you can. Well, my last comment, because we got to go to break. I know some guys who go fishing the second weekend every year, second weekend after opener, every year, the same 12 guys and been doing it for 35 years. And when they got married, they told the wives, listen, this is our time. This is our time. And they've never missed. You got to keep doing that stuff, buddy. Keep doing that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Ben, we got to go. I'll tell you what, keep your phone nearby. I'm going to call you about 7:10, and I got to share a couple of stories with you. Okay, pal?
Sounds good.
Enjoy the outdoors.
Yep.
All right, take care, Ben. I'll be right back with Tony Samper. Most people call him Samper, but not true, man. It's Samper.
Congratulations.
Dan Peterson from Clarissa, Minnesota.
The proud owner of a brand new 2021 Can-Am Outlander ATV from Truman Welter Power Sports in Buffalo.
It's just, it's so unreal right now. I just won a Can-Am four-wheeler from Bob FM.
Just wait until you hear what's coming next.
People really do win on Bob FM.
It's that time of the year and Devil's Lake is the destination. I'm thinking of fall walleyes in the morning, bird hunting in the afternoon, and a ribeye steak in the evening. Devil's Lake, North Dakota just might be the premier city in the country for multi-species hunting and fishing all in the same trip. Hey, we're blessed to make a couple of trips to Devil's Lake every year. It truly is an outdoor lover's Disney World. Bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your golf clubs, bring your family. Visit devilslakend.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now. Mark here, and it's been an honor for us here at the Four Outdoorsmen to partner with Clam Outdoors. We trust Clam with our safety by wearing suits with motion float technology. We use fish traps by the company that started it all, and Clam Pro Tackle is simply the best in the business. Most of all, the pros and employees at Clam have become great friends over the years, and great people make a great company. Visit clamoutdoors.com and join the family. Want to enjoy the outdoors? Forget bird watching or walking around on your own 2 feet like a sucker. The best way to entertain the fam is start ripping around on a new ATV or boat with help from my friends at Power Lodge. For over 20 years, Power Lodge has sold and serviced boats, ATVs, UTVs, sleds, golf carts, and now Rambo electric bikes. Make your next outdoors experience great at Power Lodge, three locations in Ramsey, Brainerd, and Onamia, or online at powerlodge.com. Total Country Bob FM.
A kid and his dad came by today, said they saw the ad on my old Chevrolet. They kicked a few tires and took a test drive. Can you tell us more about it before we buy? I put in a new starter, threw in a new clutch. Oh Lord, it might not look like much. Little Pastor Prime,
Tony Zampier.
To running, yeah, kid. She sure is something. It's an 89 Minnesota Rush.
All right, we're done, Brandon. Brandon. Tony. Hey, Tony, how are you there, buddy?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Hey, I'll tell you what, that song was by Ben Johnson, a guy, a local guy. Brandon has a show before ours called the Homegrown Show. He has a lot of local talent, and Ben Johnson, I just interviewed because he's a great guy, as a matter of fact. He's a hell of an entertainer as well. But he, kind of like you, he and his buddy started a grouse camp 10 years ago in Grand Marais. But these guys do it the hard way. They tent out for 4 or 5 days, and... you know, it's like it's the camaraderie and all that. We talked about that, but
yeah.
You are spoiled, Tony Zampier. I'll tell you what, your real name is Zampier. No, Zampier, not Zampier, right?
No, Zampier. Yeah, Zampier. It's like Uncle Sam in a pair of shoes.
Yeah, but isn't the where was the inflection? Is it on the is it Zampier or Zampier or Zampier?
Where is the it's Zampier.
Okay, just too easy, because I've heard you say it in a little bit different way than I do. Anyway, Tony is a good friend of mine. He was nice enough to invite my buddy Wade Ryan and I up to their place it's in northwestern Minnesota, a duck hunting camp that they've had for many, many, many years, and we had an absolute riot. And what's cool about what you guys have up there, is Tony, is that even though the birds weren't flying, we still had a great time. You got something going on up there.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun, didn't we? There's always grouse, and grouse are a little bit better this year up there, so that was fun.
Yeah,
and we saw a few flushes, and screw you, missed it though. I went back up on Friday because I saw that it was going to be 20 degrees in Canada on Saturday, and then a big northwest wind was going to come through. So Saturday afternoon, we were out on a river, and they started coming in. Lots of big Canadian mallards, and we got a couple shots. We got two big mallards and a green-winged teal. Not bad for not seeing anything for a while, but then Sunday morning, this morning, it was fun. There were a lot of new birds in town. We had a lot of ducks coming over the pass, something you guys missed this year, but you've witnessed in the past.
Yeah.
You know how that is.
Oh, yeah. It's hard not to get excited. It's like when you see a buck the first time or something, your heart starts beating. And when you guys... I'm a better reader at church than I am a hunter to be a duck hunter, I'll tell you that. But when you guys start calling those birds in and making them turn, I think that is an art. Now, of all the guys that are in your camp, who do you think is the best caller?
Well, you're talking to him. No, I'm just Actually, I had a good one this weekend, so that where we were getting in the flyway of those mallards, they kept going and they kept going, and you know, you had a chance to practice your call. And I'd get them to turn, but they wouldn't come all the way. Then we got a pair of singles that turn around and come right back in, and those were the two that we got. That was fun. That was a fun call right there, getting them come in. And, we've all been doing it so long, it's kind of a joke in the cabin, who's the best caller. They're all good. You know, some are better than others at different calls. We've got a guy in the camp that does a wood duck phenomenally, and... And then I like to do the mallards. I like to see them turn, even when they turn a little bit or they circle you once and then they leave. It's still a success in a little bit of a way because you got them to come back.
How many? When did duck open? A couple of weeks ago.
It opened this year on September 23rd. Was it? Yeah.
So you've got already a month in there. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Is earlier normally better than later in the season?
Yeah, you know, we always say that if a lot of the locals, as you witnessed, were gone. It was bluebird days, and then you know, when that migration comes through, it can languish, which is always fun. That they're coming through and they hang out. If it's too cold or the lakes start freezing, you know, that can go really fast. Actually, I'm sitting here with my son Charlie. It's his 28th birthday. He's a Halloween baby, and I remember he came back from college on a Saturday late night, drove all the way across from University of Minnesota Duluth, and the next morning my dad and him and I went out on one of our points, and we watched a migration because it was cold and things were freezing, and we watched birds, and this is no lie, probably 3 straight hours at about a mile in the sky, everything from geese to ducks just kept flying south. It was like, I'm going, you guys, I think we're witnessing the migration, and I don't believe they're going to stop.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I was reading about the history of the camp that you guys have up there. Are there any original members left? That was 1960 or so.
Yeah. So my out of the original 10 members, and then a couple of members died early, and they were replaced with guys that wanted to get in. And but of all those guys, there's only 3 left. It's my dad, my uncle Tom, Sam Pierre, and then a guy by the name of Rick Copeland Senior. I think you know him.
Yep, I've saw him. Might have been at the Lions Sportsman's Dinner or something, but I saw him recently somewhere. I forget where it was, but yeah.
Yeah. Those are the only 3 guys left. Of them, 2 are pretty actively hunting. My dad's getting to that point where, you know, he loves to be down there and everything, but he can't hear very well. So, his biggest fun is being down there and having the banter and the camaraderie and talking. And when he can't hear, he just wants to be down there. But he's still spry enough to shoot a gun. He said, it's no fun anymore. I don't get to hear you guys.
Hang on a second. Hey, Brandon, is Pete on the line right now? Can we get him in at the same time? Oh, cool. All right.
I'm on the line.
Hey, Peter, how are you doing, friend?
Listening.
Well, your little brother said he was the best shot and best duck caller in camp. Is that the truth?
Well, it might be embellishing just a little.
You know, it's what a cool deal.
That's been known to happen.
Yeah. You know, anyway, I was telling Tony that I was reading the history of the camp and all that. It was bought in the early 1960s or whatever. I think the original guys paid like $25,000 for this 4 or 5 bedroom old house on a piece of property that is gorgeous, and that just seems like you can't buy a car for $25,000. You know that? Can you picture that for $25,000? My Lord, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna ask you guys this, both you guys, this question, and then I'll get to Peter a little bit about the Devil's Lake as well. In your opinion, is the early teal season a good thing or a bad thing? Who wants, either one of you guys go.
What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I'm not really in favor of it seems to kind of throws things out of sync a little bit, you know, especially when you have you got the youth hunt and then you throw the teal on top of that, and you know, trying to pick between the teal and the woodies and that kind of stuff coming in, it's I don't know, for our area, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of it, but I do like the youth hunt being lasting all weekend rather than just a Saturday, and then so that was a nice change.
Did you know, yeah. Pete, you talked about fish, hunting with your son and a couple of grandkids. Did you take advantage of the youth hunt with those kids as well this year?
Well, not with those. Those 3 were high schoolers, and they were they couldn't get out. They were able to go up to Devil's Lake because we kind of arranged it during the MEA.
Yeah.
But I did. I took one of the other grandkids, 12-year-old. He was able to come up with me, so I brought him up for the youth hunt. So it was just he and I, and you know, we didn't do too bad. He got a duck, so that was a big success, and he got a lot of shooting, and he got a little action, so it was fun.
I'll tell you what's fun about this conversation, the reason I have you on, Pete, of course, is Devil's Lake Tourism is our number one sponsor. that company and Power Lodge right here in Ramsey. And it was, I found it interesting that, you know, things aren't perfect all the time, even at your place where your lodge is, because if the birds aren't flying, the birds aren't flying. And what was cool about it, you said, I'm out of here, and you went up to Devil's Lake. Now, where do you hunt when you go to Devil's Lake?
Well, it actually started last year when I brought him up here, and it was one of those weekends. You know, the high schoolers and stuff, they don't get a chance to come up here that much.
Yeah.
They've got sports and school and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah.
I got him up here last year, and we didn't see anything. So I said, you know what, we used to go out with my dad, my uncles and stuff when they were younger, and we used to go to Devil's Lake with them. And I hadn't been there for a couple of years, 3 or 4 years actually. And so I said that let's make a trip to Devil's Lake next year. So then that's this year. We planned it for MEA. They had some other hockey and sports stuff going on, so we couldn't do it the whole weekend. But we went up there for 2 days. We went up there we hunted here in Detroit Lakes on Thursday morning, and then after the morning hunt, we drove up. It's a little over a 3-hour drive to the Devil's Lake area.
Yep.
And so it's not bad. We got there about 1:30 to set up for the afternoon shoot. And I went to one of the old places that we used to go to with my dad and stuff, just to give it a shot. And, boy, I'll tell you, we launched the boat. And the water's been down. You know, they've had a drought problems this year.
Right.
But, you know, still plenty of water around Stump Lake and Devil's Lake. And that's actually the Stump Devil's Lake drains into Stump Lake.
Right.
And Stump Lake is really kind of part of that whole spot. And it's a pretty big lake in itself, 15,000 acres. And that's a spot that we used to go. So I took my grandson and then two of his buddies, his high school buddies, and we went up for the afternoon shoot. We pulled in the launch, and without any idea really what the ducks were going to be like, we pulled in the launch, and off to the side of us, there were probably half a dozen groups of 25 to 50 that started getting up when we started the motor. And that alone, you know, the kids were just going, wow, this is great. Yeah. So we pull over, and we drive about half a mile, quarter of a mile on the lake to an island. And we get, you know, as we get closer to the island, right in front of the island, there was a flock of about 200 to 250.
Oh my God!
Ducks that got out right in front of the island. I said, you know what, guys, we're going where the ducks are.
Yeah, you got to go.
That's
yeah.
where the ducks are.
Oh my God!
So anyway, we set up there for the night, and the problem there is the water was down, so. We were actually, there was no cover. We were sitting on a beach.
Yeah.
We had a boat with cover, but we're literally on, you know, we got 25 yards of just open sand beach on the south side of this island. So we set up there, and we had a couple of little makeshift twigs and stuff for, sat in the rocks and hunted. And we still got, I think we got six birds that night. And, but we saw lots. I mean, just tons of birds. So we came back there in the morning, and then this time we kind of set up a little blind. You know,
yeah,
I had some of that straw stuff, and we set that up on the beach. But it was actually pretty funny. I mean, we're on an open beach, no cover at all, and we've got some bluebill decoys out, some mallard decoys, and we just had a hell of a shoot.
You know, you guys are so blessed to be able to do that with your grandsons and all of that. You were talking about the kids are too busy with sports. The Polish Palace is a hunting shack we have up in Ely, Minnesota. It's been years that two of my kids have gone up there because their kids are playing sports, and they're concerned. Not only are they going from softball to hockey and everything's intertwining, they're concerned if they miss a practice, whatever it is, they may be put in the back shelf someplace, and it's hard to get them going. You know, and it's I love sports a lot because I'm a superstar, but But it,
yes, you are.
I am a superstar. But you know, it really bothers me that they won't take the time to go up to Ely for 3 days with Dad as much as they used to, like we did all the time. But it's life. It is life. Hey, I'll tell you what. We're gonna wrap this thing up. Tony, thank you. We're gonna keep on talking. Brendan said. Pete, I want to tell you this is off the beaten cuff right now, but I want to meet with you and have lunch and buy you a beer, and I want to go see that restored Joan II boat you guys have over there. Where is that boat right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime. I have it at my my office warehouse is in White Bear Lake, and
at Johnson Boat Works, right there, right?
Yeah, right next to Johnson Boat Works.
Yeah,
it's in there, and we're finishing it up. Hopefully we'll get it wet next spring.
Well, I saw the before and after photographs, and it's absolutely stunning. So I'll tell you what, it's what you guys have done and how you found that is a different story. But good for you, man. Yeah. Good for you having the patience to do that.
Yeah.
Tony, thanks for inviting me up to your camp when Wade and I just have an absolute riot. Say hi to the gang and say hi to Johnny for me, will you? He's, again, would you do me a favor? You might have done it already, but send me Johnny's cell phone number or an email or something. I want to reach out personally and thank him for everything he does for us, all right?
Oh, yeah. You bet. It's true. Thanks a lot for having me on.
And talking to you is true.
Yeah, Peter, take care of yourself.
We'll see you soon, buddy.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
Take care of yourself.
Yeah, bye.
I guess we're going to wrap it up. You're going to play some music. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Thanks to Chris Fitzgerald, Ben Johnson, Tony Samper, and Pete Samper. And all you listeners, because, and our sponsors, obviously, but all of you listeners, because without you, Strewman is a nobody. Gotta go. Take care, everybody. And then my buddy, like my buddy Mark would say every Sunday night, get outside, make some memories.